Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. It's where we'll start. Nehemiah chapter 8. What's happened is they're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And there were enemies that didn't want this to happen. In fact, some of these enemies were actually Israelites. And between Ezra and Nehemiah, they were encouraging the people in this project. Well, to pick this up, in verse 10, Ezra and Nehemiah are, you know, ministering to the people. Ezra as the priest, he's sharing the things from the Word of God. But in verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, worried, fearful, upset, discouraged, dismayed. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So see, these folks were in the process of building the walls of Jerusalem, rebuilding them. And some of them were very concerned. In fact, at one point during the construction, they actually had some people working on the walls, and they had a sword on their belt. And then others would actually stand guard with their weapons. It was it was a bad situation. And so here they're being encouraged. They said, look, we know that things don't look good. We know that people are against us. We know that people are saying bad things, threatening, and so on and so forth. But we're going to have a feast. We're going to have a celebration in the midst of it. And he tells them in verse 10 about preparing for the feast, the party, the celebration, and so forth. And then he tells them, don't be sorry. Don't be worried. Don't be upset. Don't be scared. Don't be any of those things. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And this word strength, it's an interesting word because it means portion. It means stronghold. It means fortress. It means protection. You know, all the imagery here. He is your strength. He is your protection. He is your high tower, and so on and so forth. So it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, I can remember years ago, there was a song that we used to sing. The joy of the Lord is my... Okay, and then, you know, we'd sing that. And if you need joy, you know, clap for it and all this other. Dance for it, shout for it, and what have you. And then they would throw in a verse. Ha, 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 ha. And, you know, we all had fun with that particular song. But what's interesting is that that song is kind of misleading relative to what this is saying. Now, if the joy of the Lord was their strength, would it not also be our strength? Now, let's think here. Those people were not born again. And yet, because they were Jews, they had a type of relationship with God. Well, now here we are, we're born again. I mean, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're born again. Because of that, we have a closer relationship with God than the Jews ever did under the law. And the Bible bears this out. So where it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and obviously that would be the same for us today. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Here's what's interesting about this word joy. It really has nothing to do with happiness. Happiness is a conditional feeling. Happiness is something that is totally dependent upon circumstances. This joy has nothing to do with your external circumstances. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. And when it says the joy of the Lord, this really is not speaking of an emotion that God feels. And I want to show this to you in Scripture. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, well, you know, I want that strength. I want that experience. You know, or, you know, I want this joy. I want to know what this is all about. Look over in Psalm chapter 51. See, happiness has to do with your soul, whereas this joy we're looking at has to do with your spirit. And as a Christian, no matter what you do, meaning performance or works or whatever you want to call it, no matter what you do, you're never going to have this joy. Ever. But I'm going to show you what you can do to get this joy. Now, it sounds like a contradiction, all right? But what I'm talking about is you cannot perform or do something for God to get this joy. Attending church in and of itself will not produce this joy. Now, there can be happiness in attending church, especially if my jokes get better. See what I mean? You're laughing right now out of a little bit of happiness. The happiness of the hope that the jokes are going to get better. But that doesn't produce joy. I can remember when Kathy and I were on the plane flying from, I think it was from Auckland back to Melbourne. And the little TV screens are right there in the back of the seat in front of you, and you could watch movies and all kinds of stuff. But there's this one particular thing that I was watching, and I'm telling you, it was so unbelievably funny. You're there on a plane, and it's all I could do to contain it. And I'm trying not to be obnoxious to the people around me, but it was so difficult to contain that. Well, then, you know, Kathy's sitting next to me, and goes, "Well, what are you watching over there?" And then she's kind of looking at it. Well, then she tunes in, and she starts watching, and she starts cackling. I mean, she just, the people are kind of looking. And then the lady next to her kind of leans over, and then she tunes in, and she starts laughing. I acted like I didn't know either one of them. But, and you know, when you try to contain that kind of laughter, it just makes it even worse. Well, what happened? The plane landed. Eventually, the thing we were watching ended. The plane landed, and it's over. Now, I'm not still happy over what I was watching. You understand? If I sit and think about what I was watching, I might start laughing again. But again, when I stop thinking about it, then that happiness is gone. But this joy that God's speaking about here in His Word, it goes beyond the happy and it takes you through the sad. It goes beyond the experience, because this joy that He's talking about is a spiritual condition that does not come about as a result of the circumstances of life. Now, here in Psalm chapter 51, look here in verse 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Herein lies the problem. There is a direct connection between this joy that God is talking about and salvation. Stated a little bit differently, if there is no salvation, then there cannot be any joy. Now, you can have a whole lot of fun with some of your circumstances. Somebody offer you a job tomorrow making $250,000 a year. And it's a cake job. And all kinds of benefits. They're going to give you a car and so forth. Well, there's a bunch of you in here. You probably hop on that, whether it was God or not. Because you see the potential to make a lot of money, you know, to help the church, right? Isn't that our idea? So, you'd be happy. Ooh, look at this job. You'd be calling everybody and sharing and telling the story. And so everybody, you know, happy with you and all this. But that happiness is going to subside. You ever heard the phrase, "The honeymoon's over"? Well, the honeymoon's going to end. The happiness is going to end. Joy will sustain you. But this joy is directly connected to salvation. That means if you want this kind of joy that He's talking about, the only way to have it is to, number one, be born again. I don't care how happy people are out there in the world that are lost, they can never experience this kind of joy unless they know Jesus Christ. So this type of joy is directly connected to salvation. Without your salvation, you do not have the potential to experience this joy. So I guess one way to say it would be this. Look, if you want something that's going to carry you through all your life, no matter what happens, you need to get born again, because getting born again gives you the key to this joy. But now he makes this statement, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This kind of summarizes what most Christians go through. And I say most based upon my experiences. Yeah, we're born again. But we're looking for this joy to come from external sources. And this is why you have a lot of Christians that end up dating non-Christians, marrying non-Christians. It's because they believe that individual can provide for them what they're seeking in life. When God makes it very clear, you are not supposed to be unequally yoked. That means you don't marry them, you don't even date them. If you're born again and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's up in heaven and He's saying you have no business dating that person who does not know me. And if you do, you have just stepped off the path of my will onto the path of your own will, and it's going to lead you into destruction at some point in time. Well, I don't believe that. Well, then go ahead and make your own choices and see how it works out. Because the Bible says not to lean to your own understanding. And so you have Christians that enter into relationships with people that don't even know Jesus. That may even, some, they even worship other gods. And the reason they do that is because what they see in that person, they perceive that that person can do for them what only their salvation can do. And you are never going to have this joy. No, no, no. You are never going to experience this joy. When you get born again, you have access to it. But you're never going to experience until you come to a greater understanding of this concept of salvation. Restore unto me the joy of wealth. Doesn't say that. Restore unto me the joy of health. Doesn't say that. Restore unto me the joy of a good family. It doesn't say that. Restore unto me the joy of having a great job. It doesn't say that. What does it say? The joy of salvation. You see this? And I'm telling you right now, this is one of the reasons why so many Christians are miserable in life. It's because they are walking outside of the fullness of their salvation and they're expecting joy to come in some other way. And it's not going to happen. Ever. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. So here I am born again, and God is saying, look, let this sink in. What you need is not happiness. What you need is joy. This is what you need. Now let's look at this a little bit further. In Psalm, look in 132. And you know what, one of the tough things about this is to get Christians to see it. I mean, it's sometimes it's like, you know, pulling teeth, as they say. To get a Christian to understand, look, if you want to have something that's going to sustain you through life, you need joy. Because joy will sustain you. Joy is a power that will sustain you through life, no matter what happens. And here in Psalm chapter 51, or I mean 132, pick this up. Now, this is prophetic, very prophetic, and you'll see this as we go through. 132 verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Now, he's speaking of Jesus. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever. What's the Bible say when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? We're seated with Him in heavenly places. Can you see the prophetic nature of this? Verse 13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for His habitation. The Bible talks about we become the habitation of the Lord. Verse 14, this is my rest forever. Here will I sit. For God is speaking. He says, I, God, this is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. In other words, God is saying, I have established a rest for my children. What does it say in Hebrews? It says that Jesus Christ has become our Sabbath. I mean, you could preach a month of Sundays just on these passages we're looking at right here. And then in verse 15, he says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Now look here. I will also clothe her priests with what? Salvation. And her saints shall what? Shout aloud for joy. In other words, I clothe them with salvation, and out of that clothing, the garment of salvation, what do they now have in them? Joy. Because you can't shout aloud if you don't have it. You can't shout aloud for the joy that you have if you don't have the joy in you. And then he goes on to say, there will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. So it says right here that we as, and the Bible says we've been made kings and priests unto God, says, I'll clothe her priests with salvation. So here I am, I'm clothed with salvation. Then, if I'm understanding this concept of my salvation, I'm going to be able to shout aloud for joy. Listen, you're not going to shout aloud when you're caught up in your circumstances. And I can't tell you how many times that I've prayed for people, and don't anybody here get on a guilt trip or anything, okay? But over the years when I've prayed for people, and they're talking about the circumstances, and, you know, tears are flowing, or, you know, whatever it would be, and I can tell in their voice there's this despair and loss, and on it goes. And, you know, it's like, oh, what do I do? You know what's happened? You've lost the joy of your salvation. Because when the joy of your salvation is operating in your life, you can shout aloud in the midst of anything that's going on. Because you realize that the circumstances are not, you know, we talk about, you know, well, under the circumstances. And I know that's just a phrase that we use. But relative to this particular message, you're going to realize when you're operating in the joy of salvation, when the joy of the Lord is your strength, you're going to realize you're not under the circumstances, but they're under your feet. They're there. If they didn't exist, they wouldn't be under your feet. You see what I mean? I mean, right now, I don't have any mud under my feet because there's no mud in this church. Now, if I were outside, I wouldn't have any carpet under my feet because there's no carpet on the mud. You understand what I mean? So the circumstances exist, but they don't dominate me. They look like they're going to dominate me. They're threatening me. They're challenging me, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that joy comes from my salvation that I received from Him. Now let's look at another place here. Look in Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. And look what he writes in this. Just pick this up in verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with what? Joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. What does water do? It sustains you. Therefore, the relationship between joy and salvation is reinforced here even more. And he says, look, with joy, you're going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy, you're going to live in a daily sustenance that's going to get you through everything. Look what he says in verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, pray, in what day? Relative to this message today, as I'm drawing water out of the wells of salvation with my joy, in that day that I do verse 3, then I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, praise the Lord. Pray. Why praise the Lord? Because His joy is sustaining me. His joy is my strength. His joy is my fortress. Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And he says, and over in Psalm 22:3, it talks about that He inhabits the praises of Israel. So here, in verse 4, 5, and 6, I'm praising God. You see this? And as I'm praising God, Psalm 22:3 kicks in. The Holy One of Israel is now in my midst. He's inhabiting my praises. So, with my joy, I'm able to access the waters of salvation for every area of my life. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'll be able to stand up and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Declare His wonderful works. You say, well, how can you say that? You know, you lost your job. You don't have much going on. Things are rough. Things are bad. Yeah, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. My job's not my strength. A happy marriage is not my strength. A happy marriage is nice to have, but it's not my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A car that runs makes me happy, but it's not my strength. You can, listen, you can have the joy of the Lord and be unhappy. However, the joy of the Lord will feed happiness, but happiness cannot feed the joy of the Lord. It's impossible. The joy of the Lord can produce a happiness in your life, not over your circumstances, just because you're saved. Because of yourself. This sounds so crazy to a lot of people. You know why? It's because we don't understand the salvation aspect. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, what I have received from you. I want it restored. How many of you can remember back when you first got born again? It's like, whoopee. I mean, you're riding high, are you not? You got very offensive because everybody you met, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I know it's more dramatic for some people than others. But it feels good to be born again. Something's happened on the inside. And you like it. And you think everybody else should be just as willing to accept it. And you find out they're not. And then when they get nasty at you and criticize you, you know what it does? It dampens your happiness. But it can't steal your joy if you don't let it. Oh, you can let it steal your joy. If you couldn't let it steal your joy, then why would you need it restored? Well, how do I get it restored? We'll see this in just a minute. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, toward the end of the Old Testament. Now, we're not going to go through the whole story here of Habakkuk, but just to pick this up in verse 16. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. Does this guy sound like he's having a good day? And I tremble in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now look at this. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Now look here, I will joy in the God of my what? Salvation. There it is again, a connection between joy and salvation. And he says, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. In other words, it's like he's turned this whole thing into a song. It's like, in here he's playing his little harp. Yes, everything stinks. Yes, everything's falling apart. Yes, nothing's good anymore. But the cattle are dead. The cows are dead. The pigs are dead. And the rabbits and everything's dead. But everything's wilting. Nothing's growing. There's nothing to eat. Ooh, but he says, in the midst of it, yeah, the circumstances stink. You know what he's describing here in all this? You know, dead fig trees and olives. I mean, nothing's... You know what he's describing? He's describing a collapsed economy. You see it? That's all they had back then. Animals and growing stuff. That was their economy back then. He's describing a collapsed economy. And so he's saying, look, in spite of the fact the animals have just, you know, rolled over and died, in spite of the fact all the growing stuff has wilted and died, in spite of the fact the economy has just tanked on me, you know what? I will rejoice in the joy of my salvation. God is my strength. I'll do this. And so here we are today. You know, how many, you know, maybe none of you here, but like, I'm telling you, there are Christians out there really upset about the economy and the job situation and so on and so forth. Well, this guy here was. You know, I mean, he was facing it. You see what I mean? And he turns it into a song. He's singing about how lousy everything is. I'm glad he came up with a second verse. Yet I will rejoice in the... Because the first verse stinks. But the second verse, that's a winner. And this is an instruction to us. He says, man, rejoice in the Lord. Yeah, I know everything stinks, but rejoice in the Lord. He's the God of your salvation. And out of that salvation, you can have joy that will sustain you through the unhappy times. Because, like I said, happiness is conditional, but joy will sustain you. Joy will sustain you through everything. Look over in, turn back over to Psalm chapter 16. Okay, well, you know, I'm born again. I've got salvation. I want this joy. Because I got to tell you, everything around me stinks. I mean, you know, wife's acting up or the husband's acting up. You know, all the kids are on drugs. Mother-in-law wants to move in. Car's not running. I'm telling you, Brother Martin, things stink. I need this joy. How do I get it? Psalm 16. Here it is. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. This is your answer. You want this joy? You're born again. Now that you're born again, you have the freedom to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in a time of need. What do I need? I need some joy. He says, okay, you need joy? Yes, I need joy. I need the joy of my salvation to be restored unto me. He says, it's not a problem. Come on. In my presence is fullness of joy. In other words, I'm the source of the joy. I'm the source of the salvation. When you come into my presence, I will be able to release into you the fullness of joy. Because your circumstances, sooner or later, are going to stink. You know what? There's a good chance in this room right here, and everybody watching, there's a good chance, I don't care what you've been through so far in life, there's a very good chance that sometime between right now and the time that you go on to meet the Lord, whenever that is, when He comes back, whatever it is, you're going to go through something worse than you've ever gone through in your life. I'm not prophesying it's going to happen. I'm saying it could happen. And we all know that. Well, what are you going to do when that takes place? What are you going to do when things as equally bad as you've ever gone through in the past happen again? And again, I'm not prophesying bad things into your life, but we all know how it is in this world. So what are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? Well, you can call me and complain and moan and fuss and so on and so forth. I'll pray with you and I'll do everything I can encourage you. But listen, Satan, now listen to me, Satan cannot steal your joy. You can only relinquish it. That's it. That's because your joy comes from your salvation. And your salvation comes from God. And Satan can't take it away. So the only way that you can lose your joy is if you relinquish it. How do you relinquish it? Well, it says here that in His presence is the fullness of joy. So if we begin to drift away from His presence, you know what we're drifting away from? Is the joy. How many of you remember that song years ago, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places? Well, you're going to end up looking for joy in all the wrong places. And this goes back to why it is Christians end up in relationships they shouldn't be in. Doing things they shouldn't do. It's because they perceive that doing whatever that thing is going to produce for them on the inside what only the joy can produce. Sure, there's happiness in the presence of God. We understand that. And I want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. But I need joy. Because joy will get me through when I'm not happy. What are you going to do when your computer crashes? You say, you prophesying my computer's going to crash? Look, guys, computers are great when they work right. But I'm not so sure that Satan doesn't have a whole division of computer devils. It just look for computers to attack. Now, I'm making that up, okay? A little happiness. But what I'm saying is, when things happen, your joy is going to get you through it. I'll tell you what the joy will do. The joy is going to help you think straight. Because when you're walking in the joy of your salvation, you're not going to make a bunch of stupid decisions that come with unhappiness and frustration and pressure and guilt and on it goes. You're not going to make these wrong decisions. You know what one of the worst decisions somebody makes when things go wrong? They don't come to church. They walk away from church. You know why they walk away from church? Because they no longer understand what the joy of their salvation is all about. And so in their minds, they've come to the conclusion that leaving church and doing whatever is going to produce for me that which I really want in my life. What you need is salvation. And if you're born again, then in your salvation, what you need is joy. And in His presence, there's joy everlasting. That's what it says. Look here. In thy presence is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy. It's not lacking. Let me show you another place here. Look at Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. And this, again, is a prophetic passage, but we're just going to look at one verse, verse 10. It says, and the ransomed of the Lord, the ransomed or the redeemed, that's us. And the ransomed, redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and what? Now look here. And everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You ever been real frustrated and you just kind of throw up your heads and you give that sigh out of frustration like you don't know what to do? Like I just can't take anymore? What's next? He says right here, sorrow and sighing will flee away. It means you won't do that anymore. But now, I want you to see this. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And I'm thinking about this. I'm like, okay, what is this saying? Everlasting joy upon their heads? I mean, what? I don't understand this. Upon my head? And as I'm thinking about that, like immediately, God took me back. Do you remember what happened in the Old Testament when the high priest was getting ready to be set into his position as a high priest? They would take the oil and they would pour that anointing oil upon that high priest, and it would run down from the head to the beard and drip down on everything. What does the Bible say? That He will give us the oil of joy. He says we will have everlasting joy upon our heads. What does that mean? Get a hold of this. That there is an anointing of joy that will flow from the top down all over every part of your life. And once that anointing has flowed down from the head to the toe, you know what's going to happen? You're going to walk in everlasting joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Praise God. The way the high priest got the anointing, thinking in terms of just Aaron and Moses, Aaron had to go before Moses. And in Moses' presence was the oil of anointing. God has said, in my presence, there is joy forevermore. There is joy everlasting. You come to my presence, you stay in my presence, and I'm going to be able to release an anointing of joy that is going to be able to sustain you through everything you're going to face and everything. You say, yeah, well, I want that joy because I want to be happy. And God says, you don't understand. The joy is not about being happy. The joy is about being in my presence. It's the joy of me, not my emotions, but the joy of me that will sustain you. Because when you're in my presence, my joy, the presence of being with me, that joy is going to be an anointing upon your life. It's going to get you through. And the worst thing I can do is get frustrated with my life. Because if I get frustrated with my life and allow that frustration to govern my life, you know what I do? I walk away from the presence of the Lord. Because now what I have just revealed is that I am depending upon circumstances and happiness associated with circumstances. I am not depending upon the joy of my salvation. And when you get around Christians like that, they are telling you volume. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they tell you, oh yeah, I'm close with Jesus. I don't care what they say. If they're living from happiness to happiness, You're going to have these ups and downs continually. But the joy of the Lord will take you through the valley of death. And you will fear no evil. Let me show you what this joy can do. An end result. Last verse. Turn it over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Short little verse. But if ever a verse was in the Bible to describe a person walking in the joy of salvation, it's this one. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There it is. You get to the place of knowing that every day I'm alive on this earth, Christ is with me. To live is to live Christ's life. And if I die, it's to be in His presence. I gain. That right there is the joy of salvation. The joy of the Lord that will strengthen you through everything. Get in His presence. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what battles you're fighting right now. God already knows the battles. I cannot give you joy. I cannot lay hands on you and impart joy to you. In His presence is joy that lasts no matter what you're going through. Joy, this joy will conquer the emotions that tell you to quit, to walk away. It's not worth it. We'll conquer the emotions that want to make you sit up all night and cry because of all the stuff that's going on. This joy will enable you to lay your head down at night and sleep in the peace that passes all understanding. In His presence is joy evermore. Praise God. Hallelujah. God thinks of everything. He's smart. Hallelujah. Please stand. Okay, Brother Martin, you're going to have a prayer line. I just told you I can't impart joy. I'm not God. Look, guys, if I could do that, I would. Well, here's what happens a lot of times. People come up, prayer lines, I pray for them. And now get this. They feel good for a little while. That's because they have experienced a type of happiness that I prayed for them, or that whoever the preacher is prayed for them. But that's not joy. Joy comes from being in His presence. Praise God. You know what you have to do? You have to fight through all of the muck in life. You have to work your way through all of the mully grubs. You ever heard that? Mully grubs. You guys know mully grubs. You know what? That word mullygrub sounds like a city in Australia. I'm from Mullygrub, Holly. You have to fight through all this stuff. Because it's trying to keep you out of the presence of God. It's trying to tell you your circumstances are lousy, no good, stinky. It's all that stuff. It's like it just builds up. You ever heard people talk? It's just building up. It's building up. It just, I don't know how much more I can take. It's just building up. And God says, look, that stuff, it's trying to stand in between you and my presence. But you're my child. Just walk through it. Don't let it keep you from me. Acknowledge that it is there. But come to my throne of grace. Get in my presence so I can release to you an anointing of joy that's going to get you through. Because see, when I'm walking in that anointing of joy, I'm walking in His presence. Sure, the circumstances may stink. Or my circumstances may be great. Either way, the joy of the Lord is my strength.